This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 42nd episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running Dutch CocoaHeads for close to 8 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about iOSDevJobs.com, building a refresh flow with async await and Swift concurrency, how to create a property wrapper in Swift, how to do print debugging in Swift UI, flow layout with self-sizing items and fixed spacing in UIKit. So let's get started. Tony Walsh has an interesting article on building a token refresh flow with async await and Swift concurrency. It's a post he's done previously, but then specifically using a token refresh with Combine rather than the new async await feature. So it's very interesting to see what solution Donny has come up with to do with token refresh flow using the new concurrency features, and then compare it with what he was able to do with Combine. The link will take you to the async await version of his article, but rest assured the Combine version of the article is linked to from his own post. What's interesting on the article by Donny is that he spends a lot of time on explaining what the exact flow is to do a refresh token call. And he has state diagrams and everything in there to really help you follow along with what's happening in his article. And then, of course, this helps you understand the sample code that is provided at a later stage. So again, an excellent article by Donny. And if you have to do refresh tokens in your app, this is probably one of the best resources to go to come to grips with what you could do. Swift with Majid has a nice article on how to create a property wrapper in Swift. Property wrappers is a feature in Swift that is used on and off depending on who is on your project and what your own liking is to using property wrappers. I'm not a big fan of property wrappers, at least not when using them all over the place. But if you are unfamiliar with what property wrappers are, you should have a look at the article by Majid to see how you can create your own property wrapper and what are some use cases to actually use a property wrapper. The one thing that I think you should guard on is that property wrappers should not be used to create a whole new sort of like project-specific dialect on the Swift language that you are using within your project. But that's my personal preference, and that's been created based on some experience with similar types of features in other languages. So again, Majid indicates that a property wrapper is a great way to extract reusable logic into a separate type and use it across the code base. The next article is by Sarun, how to do print debugging in Swift UI. Print debugging is the simplest form of debugging. It's a debugging technique that you can easily carry over to any language or IDE. In UIKit, you could easily trickle around these print statements to trace the flow of execution. Now, obviously, using print debugging is not always the best way to do debugging of your code base, but in some cases, it can be very helpful. If you want to do print debugging in a Swift UI view, there are some things that you need to be aware of. And in this article, Sarun explains what those things are and how you can get print debugging to work within a Swift UI view. A collection view API that's very underutilized on iOS 13 and 14 is UI collection view compositional layout. In the article by Thomas, he explains how you can create a flow layout with self-sizing items and fixed spacing in UIKit using this UI collection view compositional layout. It's a very powerful layout that you can use with collection views. And because of the flexibility that it gives, if you are aware of how you can use this layout, it's very easy to create all kinds of layouts quickly and easily, and also be very dynamic in how the layout exactly looks. So it's a very powerful feature that's available since iOS 13. And I think you should have a look at the UI Collection View compositional layout through the article by Thomas. And then finally, I mentioned it first in my list of articles of this week, is iosdevjobs.com. Dave Verweer has released a big update on his jobs site, and I think you should definitely have a look at it right now, because it's an amazing resource if you are looking or just want to be aware of what kinds of jobs are out there. Also, have a look at the Mac and iOS app that is available with iosdevjobs.com to receive convenient push notifications based on the filtering that you can configure in Dave's app. And now on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. I myself indicate to Donny that I'm brushing up on my basic touch typing skills for about a week now. I'm doing that next to podcasting and adding some more content for a book update and regular day job work. So nothing big happening this week, which is good every now and then. Niv today found that collection views will not call self row if even one cell has a size height of 0. So he's trying to find a solution for that. And he's actually looking into relocating to the Netherlands, and he's looking for any advice. Well, biggest advice that I can give is to just do it. And maybe there's more areas in the Netherlands that you can go to than close to Amsterdam. Johan is not doing anything because he's on vacation. And of course, he's making a lot of food and baking the entire week, but that's just relaxing and spending some time away from a keyboard. Flo writes code indicates that last week, Flo challenged himself to build an app MVP in just 7 days and then launch the app. And he asked people to try it out so you can test your mental math for free. The app is called 1x1. Gene Martin is working on a travel app, and he's currently struggling on building a horizontal grids within a form. And Ben, he's doing the same thing he does every week, and that's being in a fierce battle with the memory graph. And these references are just too strong. Michaela is saying good morning, and she's hoping to learn some more about Fastlane tools this week. Mael Navero is working on a new control to easily navigate through long lists of names. So he's almost finished, and he has a nice screenshot, or animated GIF I should say, that showcases his new control. Rihab Mabu is working on an AR face exercise app, which is fun to make, and it's also teaching him a lot about AR. And René Skov is rewriting SofaBolt to Swift UI. And that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed my episode. If you have any feedback, please DM or mention me on Twitter at AppForce1. You can also support my podcast directly by going to pod.fan/AppForce1. There you can find early access recordings of my future interviews. And each time I do an interview with somebody, I make sure to upload it to my PodFan page so that you can have unfiltered access to what I do with my guests. Right now, I have early access versions available of my interviews with Johan Delgado and Mohamed Azam. Talk to you next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.